It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, the 24th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Somewhere right now, a car with two passengers is winding its way from San Francisco to my home of New York City. The driver isn't getting out to stretch because the driver is a web of lasers, sensors, and software. The Michigan company behind this 3,500-mile self-driving car road trip is Delphi Automotive. And I should note that one of the passengers does sit behind the wheel. They'll only take the wheel if there's a situation the complex software can't handle. Nithi Kalra is an information scientist at the RAND Corporation who's written about self-driving technology. She says this particular trip is an important set of tests.
We're really looking at the capability of a vehicle to navigate over a variety of terrain, variety of weather conditions, and depending on, you know, how far they stray off the highway, different kinds of traffic environments.
That kind of long-range testing can reveal important data. The company says its software can detect a ton of stuff, but it's not cheap. The systems this car uses can cost over $70,000 a pop. Kalra says, okay, but that's temporary.
Like many cutting-edge technologies, the cost comes down very quickly. You know, cruise control was once upon a time something only for high-end vehicles, and now it's pretty much in every package.
Kalra does note that her husband works on another self-driving car, the one being made by Google, so full disclosure. While I was traveling recently, I was amazed at how many people were vaping, a.k.a. using e-cigarettes or other electronic smoking devices that deliver nicotine and emit merely a momentary poof of vapor. And this was not just out in the world, it was in the airport. Anecdotal, yes, but definitely clear evidence to me that the future of electronic cigarettes is anything but cloudy. So it may not come as a surprise that people are worried about the health risks of e-cigs. Some of those people come from the tobacco industry. Tim Fitzsimmons reports.
2 decades ago, Representative Ron Wyden of Oregon, now senator, asked tobacco executives a simple question. Do you believe nicotine is addictive?
Nicotine is not addictive.
Not addictive.
Not addictive. Not addictive.
They all said the same thing. Partly because of documents revealed by Mike Moore, the former attorney general of Mississippi, we now know that they were lying.
The tobacco industry knew that nicotine was an addictive drug back in the 50s and 60s.
That deception helped pave the way for the famous $250 billion tobacco settlement in 1998. Fast forward to the booming e-cigarette market today, Moore says he thinks tobacco giants are hoping that future regulations will crush smaller companies.
They'll do everything they can to push the smaller guys, you know, out of the business in any way they can, through the FDA regs or any other way in the marketplace.
Robert Jackler is a professor of medicine at Stanford. He adds that he doesn't trust the scary warning labels on e-cigs mean big tobacco is trying to protect your health.
They know that the profit is in combustible cigarettes.
He says emerging research suggests e-cigs don't even help people quit smoking. They just help them survive in a non-smoking world. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
It may not feel this way for everybody, but yes, we have technically crossed the line into spring. The sweaters are getting mothballed, the sleds are going back to the basement, garage, or attic, and what's coming out? The trowels, the hoses, and the sprinklers. If you're in the market for lawn stuff, the options are getting smarter. Our friend at CNET.com, Lindsay Turntine, is here to get me smarter. Lindsay, nice to have you back in the studio.
It's so nice to be here.
What's going on with smart devices outside of the house?
This whole industry around connected yard devices is new and it's pretty interesting, especially in places like California where I live, where we are in a terrible drought.
Yes.
And this all comes down to sensor technology. You hear about sensors all the time. Sensors are getting small and cheap, and now they can be embedded in things like the Eden, which is a device that's coming in April. It's basically a large stake.
Okay.
That you jam into the soil in your yard.
Uh-huh.
It's solar powered, and it over time monitors all sorts of things about your soil.
Interesting.
And the surroundings.
So like nutrients and how much water is in the soil, and all of these things that can help you have a beautiful yard.
Exactly, and you can partner it up with a smart valve. Connects to your hose or whatever your watering system is, and actually the Eden can tell it when to turn on to take care of the needs of the plants around it.
What else about the yard and smart devices may change? What might we see, not necessarily this spring, but going forward?
These companies are just starting to figure out the answers to really tough problems, like how do you get an outdoor sensor to work over your home Wi-Fi? How do you keep water from damaging these devices? And I believe that these companies, which are just getting started, are going to learn a ton over the next 5 years or so. And these things are going to be much more accessible in probably 5 years, maybe 10.
What will we make the children do on Saturday for their Saturday chores when the yard is like just running itself?
This is actually a question that I ask myself with some regularity. And the answer is clean the toilets.
Wait, we don't have a smart device that does that yet?
Not that I know of.
It's time for you and I to make our millions.
Here we go.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET.com. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Some of the stuff Lindsay was talking about there can be found in the second issue of CNET magazine, which just came out. You know where to get more from us, marketplacetech.org. And Instagram introduced a new app called Layout, which lets people stuff a bunch of different photos into a single image post. Collages, mirrored images, other creative stuff. If you're an Apple user, you can get it now. Androids like me have got to wait. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.